Welcome back to the Soul Savvy podcast. This is Alex, and I'm here with Russ again. Russ, how's it going, man? You're just finishing off a McDonald's meal over here. Did you pick up any Travis Scott McDonald's merch? You seem like the guy, you know?
Yeah. No, I went there to try and cop the Travis Scott meal so I could flip that. And I guess they're done with that now. I only go for that because I'm budget-minded. $6 is like, you could barely get a Big Mac for $6 by itself. I actually did get one. And it's funny, like, John Caramatica wrote about it in the New York Times, and he mentions throwing out the meal and saving the receipt. I actually sent him a message on Instagram because I also photographed the receipt. I didn't actually keep the thing, but I was just like, yeah, it's kind of a neat thing. Probably not going to see that again.
Yeah. So no Chicken McNuggets body pillow for you, Russ?
No. Just the actual regular Chicken McNuggets. I don't know. Body pillow, I feel like you're when you start buying McDonald's merch, you've kind of sailed off the edge of the world, I think. I don't know. I'm not quite ready for that. Give me like a Grimace toy from like a Happy Meal from like 1978. That would be cool.
You know that famous Popeye's chicken sandwich that was such a huge deal like 6 months ago?
Yeah, I never got to try that.
So it finally came to Canada this week, and you know, had a chance to try it on Monday. Good sandwich, but the manager in the store was wearing a chicken sandwich Popeye's hat. It said, "The legend is here," with the sandwich on the cap.
Oh, wow.
And I really wanted to offer him like $50 on the spot. I joked with him and asked him if he had more hats in the back, and he just laughed and he didn't realize I was serious. So I kind of just let it go. That's merch.
I was going to say, that's the kind of thing where you get a job at Popeye's and quit like your first day just to get that. Like, that would almost be worth it.
I literally texted my friend that the other day. I said it might be worth it to work there for a week,
right?
Make
and
some money
story out of it too.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I was thinking when I saw that Travis Jack McDonald stuff. I'm like, yo, like, all these people, like, and I don't know how many people were like bugging out over it, but like, you're paying for McDonald's merch. If you want a McDonald's shirt, go work there. But like, most of the people I think who bought that stuff would never even like consider actually like getting a job at McDonald's. Like, who would do that?
Yeah.
But it's like, you'll buy a pair of selvedge denim shorts with the arches on the back pocket. Like, oh no, man.
Shouts to all the Soul Savvy members who copped. We weren't talking about you. So we're obviously here to talk about basketball. We'll get to some of the sneaker stuff happening in the bubble as well. So we're recording this the day after the Denver Nuggets completed their second 3-1 comeback in the bubble, beating the LA Clippers in what turned out to be a blowout. First of all, we'll talk about the Nuggets more when we preview the Western Conference Finals, but man, the Clippers, where do we begin, Russ, with the Clippers?
I mean, I'll begin with this. I really wish I could rewatch that fourth quarter just with a camera on Steve Ballmer. Like, I know he had a mask over his lower face, but like, you know, just watching him sort of collapse into dust in real time as that lead disappeared and the Nuggets went up like by as many as 20 would be so priceless. Like, I just don't know, and I'll never know, but what do you do when you're worth billions of dollars? You bought this sports team for a couple billion dollars, and like, it's your basically your sole passion, and you watch them just collapse in historic, epic fashion. You know, at least normally at games, he'd be surrounded by a bunch of other people in misery. And this one, it's like, man, you're like by yourself in the bubble, which you could buy and sell.
Yeah, he had nobody to scream at. He had to sit in the suite by himself. Listen, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard combined for 5 points in the entire second half. The whole team scored 33 points in the second half. In the fourth quarter, PG and Kawhi were a combined 0-for-11. I mean, man, and afterwards, Paul George was talking about how this wasn't a championship bust season, despite the fact that the Oklahoma City Thunder might build a statue for you after they get through all the draft picks that they got. I don't know, man. I feel like if they put up more of a fight, it would have been a more respectable exit. But this is a team that talked like they had already won a championship all season. I don't know if you remember the first week of the year, Pat Bev was telling Steph Curry that the next 5 years was theirs. and we saw what Marcus Morris, did in these playoffs, like with Luka Doncic. And this guy started a fight with Paul Millsap, of all people. Like, who picks on Paul Millsap? Paul Millsap just goes about his business. He just wants to come and hoop. he has admitted that he doesn't have a window in his hotel at the bubble, which, you know, I feel bad for.
Paul Millsap doesn't have a window?
Yeah, he said this the first week at Disney World. Maybe they swapped hotels now and he's fine, but that's wild.
I mean, Paul Millsap, it's funny, like, and I never really thought about it like that, but Paul Millsap is kind of the house brand Kawhi Leonard. Like, he's just a guy who goes out there and does his job. Like, he went out, he hit those two threes in the fourth last night that really, like, were the daggers. And, like, you know, my immediate reaction is like, oh, my God, like, the Clippers are getting murdered by Paul Millsap, of all people. For those who don't follow me on Twitter, like, I actually deactivated my Twitter the first week of September because, like, I was just basically losing my shit over everything. So, you know, it's kind of funny to watch a game without tweeting about it, but it's also very liberating in some ways because you don't have to, like, sort of, I don't know, be more performative about it. You could just watch it unfold. But at the same time, the annoying part is you think of all the things you would tweet, some of which I, like, texted to people just to get them out of my own head. But, yeah, it's crazy. Like, and I don't know why I say this after the Twitter thing because it has nothing to do with it, but I realized even earlier in the playoffs or earlier in the bubble, I don't think I'd watched many Nuggets games this year. Like, it just wasn't something that really comes up, especially on the East Coast. At one point, I saw that Jamal Murray had signed that extension for like $170 million. And I think my first reaction was like, oh my God, like, that's insane. Like, why is Jamal Murray making this much money? And by the end of this run, and obviously the run isn't over, now it's more like, wait, Jamal Murray only got $170 million? Like, why isn't he getting like double that? He's between him and Jokic, they're pretty scary.
Yeah, Jokic is incredible, man. And I'm with you. I feel like Jamal Murray has definitely changed the expectations that people have of him. I mean, I know it's all, you know, all anyone wants to talk about today, you know, are the Clippers. But what the Nuggets have done in these playoffs, coming back from 3-1 twice, has been incredible. But one more Clippers fact.
Yeah, we should make fun of the Clippers some more, though.
I got so many stats for you. You know, this is the third time in Doc Rivers' career he's blown a 3-1 lead.
Look, and Doc Rivers has to be gone, right? Like,
apparently, all reports are he's coming back because Kawhi, when he made the decision to join the Clippers, one of the big things was he wanted to play for Doc.
My, I don't know. I mean, look, I think Doc is a great person, obviously. And, you know, some of the stuff he said, like during the protests and all that, like he's certainly a valuable voice. I just don't know. Like, I feel like a lot of coaches have sort of expiration dates, especially with a certain team. And I know the Clippers have made changes, but I feel like Doc is kind of that last lingering piece of sort of the Donald Sterling era Clippers. And I think, like, you just want a really fresh start at this. You know, I think, like, at some point, no matter how good that voice is, you need a new voice. To me, you take the Rockets and the Clippers and put them all in a huge pool of players and just let them redraft them and pick new teams. Because both of those teams seem to just have, like, I don't know, reached something of the end of the road in the way they were evolved. I know that's crazy because PG and Kawhi just got there, but I don't know. Something just doesn't seem right with them at all.
The problem with merging those two teams is that Tillman Fertitta is going to make Steve Ballmer pay for the entire team, the entire super team.
I mean, look, the good thing is Steve Ballmer could afford it. He could probably pay Tillman Fertitta to go away and just have the Clipper Rockets. I don't know how they would do, but, you know.
No, Kawhi and PG both have only 1 year left on their contracts, and then they can become free agents. So next year, the Clippers on the clock, and they literally don't have a draft pick, I believe, until 2028.
They definitely, I mean, that's why it hurts to mortgage your future unless the present works out. Yeah, I mean, where do they go from here? It's like Pat Beverly's kind of probably, they have some guys who are reaching the end of the road, and then, you know, you look at the young guys, and it's like, man, who was even...
Like, Jermichael Green is the closest that they have to a guy where you can say, like, okay, he can be part of the future. But otherwise, it's all win now guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, Jermichael Green was the one keeping him in it. And I say keeping them in it kind of loosely because he was keeping them within, like, you know, 12 and not, like, 18. I mean, that's the thing. If you're the Clippers, you got to look around at the rest of these teams and think, like, are we as good as they are? I mean, are they as good as some of the teams who lost earlier? You know, are they as good as Oklahoma City? You know, is like, we're kind of seeing peak Kawhi and peak Paul George right now. You know, all these other teams, Denver is going to be much better next year. I mean, that's what's terrifying about them. Like, these guys are only getting better.
Don't forget the Warriors are coming back.
The Warriors are coming back. You know, you figure the Rockets are going to do something completely different.
The Pelicans with a new coach should be better.
The Blazers should be better when they get back from Cancun.
The Lakers will still be there.
Oklahoma City will probably still be there. I mean, I don't know if Chris Paul ends up getting moved again.
Even talk about teams like Phoenix, not saying that they're going to suddenly vault into a top four, but that's going to be a competitive team next year. Like, you look up and down the West, I mean, I don't know, maybe you pick Sacramento as one team. But I see even a team like Minnesota, they're going to have, like, what, the number one overall pick to add to what they have. Like, you know, the West is only getting harder. It's basically kind of what you're saying as well, right?
Right. And that's where you go back to the whole idea of championship or bust for them.
It was.
You know, you could say it wasn't.
It was.
But at the same time, like, the Clippers are undoubtedly a team that was built to win now, and they didn't win now. So, and they mortgaged their future, like you mentioned. I mean, they traded away a bunch of draft picks. So they're kind of limited in what they can do unless they want to move Paul George or Kawhi and kind of do a hard reset. I mean, that's what it seems like Houston's talking about. Obviously, the Clippers went around further, but man, I mean, look, you blow a 3-1 lead, especially when you had leads in games 5, 6, and 7.
Double-digit leads.
You know, you got to really think, like, so you need to do something different.
You know, anytime, you know, Kawhi made his decision to leave Kyle Lowry and the Toronto Raptors to go home and play with Reggie Jackson, anytime you want to go home and play with Reggie Jackson in a crunch time game 7, you have to respect that decision. You know, DP, the Soul Savvy co-founder, is a huge Blazers fan, as most people know. So we have to mandatory segment about the Blazers, because I know you've been off Twitter, but I don't know if you saw, but Dame and CJ were tweeting up a storm last night when Paul George hit the side of the backboard with his 3 and 4. Worldwide Wob took the video and tagged Dame. And Dame, quote, retweeted and said, "That's a good shot." And CJ and Dame went back and forth about opening villas in, basically telling...
It was Cancun, that, I think.
Yeah, I think it was in Cancun, telling the Clippers and telling Patrick Beverley specifically that they would have an extra spot for them if they want. And Dame said that he was going to be showing up to the beach in Tim's, specifically about Patrick Beverley. So I'm actually worried... you know, for Blazers fans, that Patrick Beverley might just go out of his way to hurt Dame in their first game next season. But other than that, man.
Luckily, next season might be a bit of a ways away.
Yeah, luckily the world might be over, and this is the last time we'll ever see NBA basketball. So
this
maybe
is
we
also
shouldn't worry
true.
About that.
But, you know, but also it's like, man, the Clippers got to be smarter than that. I mean, clearly they've had bigger problems to deal with. But, like, you go after Dame and CJ and the Blazers in general. Yo, Dame's a rapper. CJ's a writer. Like, those are not the people you go after. Like, they are going to come back at you. Like, you know, I'm sure PG thought it was just some throwaway, like, trash talk kind of thing. But no, this stuff lasts. It doesn't just go away. So, you know, clearly Kawhi is kind of the smart one here, coming from the Tim Duncan school of basketball, where he doesn't say anything to anybody. Talk about the Ballmer cam. It would have been interesting to watch Kawhi throughout the fourth quarter too, and try and guess, like, are they winning or are they losing? I'm not sure. Although I guess in the fourth quarter they were losing.
Is this even a playoff game? We thought Dame had great range. This man was shooting from the logo. Last night he was shooting from another time zone. So we have to give some respect to him.
Hitting shots in the game he wasn't even playing in.
No, last night has to go on his top 5 of playoff performances, next to his game winners. So it's going to be Lakers-Nuggets, the matchup that we've all been waiting for 12 months. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night too. Obviously, a clear winner from this, I would say, is LeBron. I mean, all due respect, you know, to the Nuggets. You know, I feel like the Clippers, I mean, I can't even say this actually, so forget it. I was going to say the Clippers would have given them a tougher matchup, but I don't think the Clippers deserve that. So we're not going to say that. I mean, LeBron has survived people anointing Steph, Giannis, and now Kawhi as the best player in the game. And it turns out it's still LeBron.
I mean, I guess the only thing I could think of is they've probably spent some time preparing and kind of assuming they were going to play the Clippers. I'm sure they've also paid attention to the Nuggets because they're in the bubble, and what else are you going to do while you're there? I don't know. It's going to be an interesting series because, to me, the scariest thing is, like, say the Lakers do go up in the series 3-1. It's like, well, then that's just one more, you know? Like,
it's
you kind of can't take your foot off the gas against the Nuggets at all. Like, nothing seems to be safe, and these guys don't seem fazed by anything. So, they're certainly not going to go into this series being like, oh man, it's the Lakers. Like, whatever, who cares? I don't think they're going to have problems that way. You know, do you run into some matchup issues? Maybe. I don't know. I haven't looked at it that carefully. But the Nuggets have certainly had guys step up, you know, from Gary Harris to Michael Porter Jr. to whichever Plumlee is on the Nuggets. I never keep track. I just assume whatever. It's a Plumlee. It's the Denver Plumlee. Mason? Is it Mason?
I think I'm going to say it's Mason, but I would not bet Travis Scott McDonald's shirt on it.
There was actually one play, I think, in this series where they were kind of pulled back for the full court view, and the center brought the ball up and threw a great pass inside. I'm like, man, that was a good play by Jokic. And they cut in, and it's Plumlee. I'm like, oh, my God, he can do that?
It's like, wow, did he throw it over his head just like Jokic?
No, at the end of yesterday's game? It wasn't quite like that. It was like, I don't know if it was like a pocket pass. It was something like to a cutter, and I was like, oh, that was some good vision. And I just assumed it was Jokic. But, yeah, I don't know. The one thing that bugs me, and the one reason I'm not thrilled with the Nuggets making it through to the Western Conference Finals, is that this means another week of hearing people call Jokic Joker.
Yo, like, I have a huge problem with that. First of all, just because, like, what does that even mean? It's just something that's close to his name.
The thing is, to me, the way I split it, there are two kinds of NBA analysts on television. There are the ones who call Jokic Joker, and there are good ones. Like, I can't with those people. And, like, it's funny because a lot of them are ex-players. Like, Weber calls him Joker. I remember watching a game, I think probably during the horrible, like, Players Week thing or whatever. Isaiah Thomas, oh, my God. He called him Joker, like, 100 times in one game. It was just like, please stop.
No, he's not Joker. I'm with you on this anti-Joker thing. But speaking of Jokic, you know, like you know, I haven't really watched the Nuggets that closely the last few years. Obviously, I've seen Jokic in the playoffs, and we know what kind of great player and great passer he is. Man, I don't know, man. He was the best player in that series, you know, between the Clippers and the Nuggets, which is wild to say because you just assume it's going to be Kawhi. And I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to go through the list and rank my top 10 players, but I feel like Jokic is a top 10 player, right? And I don't think that's an argument.
I don't think, you know, there might actually be like 15 top 10 players, but I don't think that's necessarily wrong. Like, yeah, he is. And the fact that he was a second round pick in this, like, you know, sort of Pillsbury Doughboy from Eastern Europe, like, it's kind of insane how good he is.
Yeah, no, I feel like him and Jamal, like, I don't know. I've completely changed the way I look at the Nuggets. You know, I feel like going to the playoffs, me and a lot of people were just saying, you know, they're a cute regular season team. Let's see what they do in the playoffs. But, you know, you add in Michael Porter Jr., you know, who hopefully can continue wearing a mask. Gary Harris, like you mentioned, has been great for them. Jerry and Grant.
Love Jeremy.
Jeremy Grant. Yep. Am I getting mixed up? Jeremy?
I think it's Jeremy.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been great. So I think they have a great future, and Mike Malone's a great coach. I was thinking too, though, you know I say this every time we talk about LeBron in the playoffs, and I think I told you the last time we chatted too, like how it takes an all-time great team to beat LeBron in a seven-game series. With all due respect to the Nuggets, to the Celtics and Heat, which we'll get to, there's no like super great team left for LeBron to kind of have to run through like he did against San Antonio and Golden State. I feel like the path is pretty clear for LeBron to get this fourth title, which I know he really wants.
I mean, you know, all that talk about asterisks and anything, and like, I think this is still going to be a really difficult run no matter what comes because, you know, obviously the Nuggets have proven to be an impossible out so far. You know, Jokic is definitely one of the best players in the playoffs. I think Murray is probably in the top five players in the playoffs so far. I mean, God, just what he did against Utah alone. And then, you know, goes out and gets 40 in a game seven last night. And then, you know, the winner of Celtics Heat, it's like, and we can get into that more, but you know, the Celtics have been playing great, but the Heat, man, like First of all, Jimmy Butler just refuses to die. And I again go by, I stand by this forever, that if Jimmy Butler is ripping on a teammate and thinks he should and like says some shit, you don't trade Jimmy Butler. You trade the other guy. Like, I feel like all the teams who got rid of him have either learned that or are in the middle of learning that. Like, Philly's home. Minnesota, I don't know. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with them. Obviously, it's harder to trade Cat, especially before his max contract kicks in. But, like, I feel like maybe Jimmy isn't the most diplomatic person when it comes to talking to other guys or about other guys. But, you know, you cannot fault his work ethic. And as far as I know, he hasn't had much to say bad about any of his Heat teammates. And here they are in the Eastern Conference Finals, up 1-0, you know, with Bam Adebayo with that absurd block on Jason Tatum that still makes no sense. That looked like a clip out of Tenet or something. I kept waiting for it to run backwards, too. But
still don't know what Tenet's about, even though I think I've watched like 90
clips. I have
a
vague idea about, I don't know, something like that. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, no matter who makes it through at this point, you know, I think you're right that there certainly isn't a, you know, Clash of the Titans matchup waiting. But at the same time, like, beating the Nuggets and then beating either the Celtics or the Heat, I mean, that's definitely still earning a championship. I mean, I think it's going to be a little more difficult still to actually get there. I also think it's hilarious, and obviously there's different ways it can go too, but we can possibly get Lakers-Celtics, and we could get Nuggets.
I heard they had a big rivalry in the 80s.
Like the Lakers and the Celtics have played more finals games against each other than the Nuggets and Heat have played games against each other, period. That's actually probably true.
It's hilarious, too. They always find a way to meet up. Like, the Lakers were terrible for so long, and then somehow, they get Pau Gasol, and then the Celtics get, like, Paul Pierce and KG and Ray Allen, and they meet up, and then 10 years later, they're going to meet up again, maybe.
Yeah, I kind of want Nuggets Heat just so we don't have to get, like, tons
just
of
so money. Adam Silver has to announce that the salary cap will be $30 million next year because the TV ratings are, like, in the dumps.
I don't know, man. Everyone's got to watch that anyway, right? Like, no matter who makes it, I hope.
I honestly don't know who's not watching basketball. I feel like every time I see these ratings numbers and they come out and it's like, oh, it's set a new record. Like, everybody's watching basketball right now, in my opinion.
It was kind of weird. The other night, there was no basketball game on, and I think there were no local baseball games. And it was just like, you know, we kind of got used to March and April having no sports, and now, like, so used to having basically all of them. I guess it was Monday night because Monday Night Football was on, and I'm still not really, like, I don't know, still not really embracing the NFL. So.
No, you can't watch the NFL because, you know, some of them have fans there, basically a super spreader event. You're watching a super spreader event.
Yeah, it's true. Don't want to watch those.
But, yeah, no, I think if you were to give me either the Lakers or the rest of the field, the three teams remaining, I would take the Lakers at this point. But I'm with you, though, in terms of I don't think, you know, LeBron is just going to cakewalk, you know, to a championship. But it'll be interesting. You know, Jokic and Anthony Davis, obviously two very different, you know, centers in terms of their playing style. I have to give a lot of respect to the Nuggets. But I predictions wise, I think I would go with the Lakers in six.
It's a tough call.
I can't imagine the Nuggets going another seven games, but, you know, for full disclosure, I messaged Russ before game five of Clippers Nuggets and was like, all right, when the Clippers wrap up this series tonight, let's record this podcast tomorrow. And that's when the Nuggets took it personally.
Yeah, I feel like it does go seven. I feel like the Nuggets are just destined
to
play another seven game series one way or the other, whether it opens up 3-1 or, you know, it opens up differently. I think they could take the first game, actually. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I do think the Lakers end up getting to the finals. I feel like the closer LeBron gets, the less likely he is to lose. That obviously knowing he has lost in the finals before, but I don't know. This year just feels a little bit different. And obviously, AD might be, well, he's not his best teammate, but he's his best teammate in a while, probably since Wade. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it works out. I'm picking the Heat to win it all, though. I'm riding with Jimmy. I want to see Jimmy get the Finals MVP trophy and like drink a $20 cup of coffee out of it.
He's working on a deal with Lululemon, by the way. I don't know if you saw this.
Wow, I did.
He has his coffee merch now, and apparently they've been made on Lululemon shirts, and he's actually talking to them about an actual deal. Shouts to Jimmy. No, let's get to that. So
I'm down for that. Jimmy, sponsor me.
So in the Eastern Conference, before we get to the Heat Celtics, obviously the Heat won game one in overtime. A bit of a surprise, the Raptors and the Bucks both going out in the second round. Maybe the Bucks more of a surprise because the Raptors-Celtics series, you know, the Celtics were a great team. You know, the Raptors fought but came up short. Pascal Siakam, you know, real learning experience for him, to say the least. You know, in this series, we all know Milwaukee collapsing in the second round. Speaking of bringing coaches back, they're apparently bringing Coach Bud back. Giannis had this cryptic 3-hour meeting with one of the owners this week, and reports are that Mark Lazary, who's the owner, promised that they're going to go into the luxury tax and do whatever it takes to win, which I guess brings me to the obvious question of, you know, a year ago, you guys said bringing back Malcolm Brogdon was a luxury and didn't do it.
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, that was clearly a terrible move. I mean, and again, like, it's kind of like, and this is from being a Mets fan and watching them not build around Jacob DeGrom, who won two straight Cy Youngs. You know, if you have Giannis, who clearly is like an evolutionary talent in the NBA, you can't balk at the luxury tax to keep talent around him. You know, especially when he's such a, and I don't want to say flawed, but I will say flawed player that, you know, he's a little like, he's almost like a mix of Kobe and Shaq, where like he can create his own shot, but he has to do a lot inside and you don't want him going to the line, you know, late, because he's going to miss free throws. And you need to surround him with guys who can get the ball in their hands late. And it's like Chris Middleton, he had some good games, he had some bad games, he disappeared a little bit. You know,
Chris Middleton is fine if he's like your number three guy. I don't think he can be the number two guy next to Giannis if you're trying to,
you know, but it, but it's like also for the Bucks, like, man, you have Brooke Lopez, who like magically transformed himself into this elite three-point shooter who probably isn't making nearly as much money as he should given what he contributes, then pay Brogdon. Like, that's just the cost of doing business at this point, you know? And like, if they do lose Giannis, and I'll go on record and say I don't think they will. I think Giannis will re-up. Like, I feel like, I don't know about his faith in Milwaukee, but, you know, he seems like the kind of guy who would stay. You can't squander that, you know, because if you do lose him over not paying Malcolm Brogdon, you lose like literally a once in a generation talent. Like, then what are you doing this for? Go, yeah, like, run a mall.
No, I'm with you. Giannis, don't listen to Russ. Just come to Toronto. We got you. But
Toronto going to have space? Because that's the other thing with Toronto. Like, you know, every time I watch Fred Van Vliet hit a three-pointer, I'm like, oh, that's another $10 million on his deal.
Yeah, I think Fred, you know, if he does come back, I'm guessing it's going to be kind of a Malcolm Brogdon deal, actually. Maybe a $20 million a year type deal. They'll have cap room, though. I think right now they've got so much space saved up for next summer. That re-signing Fred won't be a problem. It's if they bring back Serge Ibaka on kind of a big deal, because he's earned, I feel like, a lot of money too, because he's showing that he can still be a starter in this league. Like, if you bring him back at like $20 million a year, then I feel like it gets a little – that's why we can't have a Nuggets Heat Finals and for the cap to go down by $50
million. You need Lakers Celtics?
Yeah, let's go LeBron. That's why I'm secretly a Lakers fan now. Let me bring my Nick Van Exel jersey out of the closet.
Ooh. So – what about – is Marc Gasol done?
Marc Gasol is a free agent, and there was a report actually today that he's considering playing in Europe and just going home, which everybody said wouldn't blame him for not wanting to be in North America right now, and he's not wrong.
Can you bring back Toronto Jonas Valanciunas?
I think he's under contract for a little bit. Yeah, the Raptors might have a problem at center, but in terms of being in the mix for Giannis, I don't know. I feel like if he does look elsewhere, it's Toronto, Miami, and ESPN's been trying to push him to Golden State, I feel like. So maybe Golden State as well. Or I mean, maybe he just throws a curveball and goes to Dallas and plays with Luka.
Who knows? And, you know, and that's where, like, maybe you pick up somebody else from a team who's trying to sign a Giannis and is unloading salary or right. whatever. Like, that's where the you know, the machinations get interesting. You know, the idea of Houston potentially blowing it up and possibly trading Harden, which I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know. I can't even envision how that would work. Like,
yo, reunite the Thunder on the Nets, man. Get Serge Ibaka over there. Get Russ over there. James Harden. KD. We'll figure out the Kyrie thing. Kyrie,
so what, I guess, you trade away, like, all the other guys? Basically, you trade, like, Caris LeVert and Jared Allen for James Harden?
I want Jeff Green, too, though. Like, I want the fringe guys. I want Nick Collison to come out of retirement.
I don't know. Dude, I don't know about Russell Westbrook. When he went on that screaming jag at Rajon Rondo's brother, man. It's just like, dude, like, what are you doing?
You can't be talking. You can't be getting upset when you're being eliminated.
And, like, I know Russ has always been passionate and a bit of a hothead, but it's like you went through, like, three seasons where you average a triple-double, you won MVP, like, you know, you're on a different team. Like, at some point, like, and I understand, like, it's the whole point of this, but, like, maybe don't let it become personal to you. Like, who cares? It's Rajon Rondo's brother. It's not even Rajon Rondo.
No,
like, I'm just getting mad at Rondo.
I love Russell Westbrook the person, Russell Westbrook the dad. But man, on the court, it's tough. He's just not the player that's going to help you win. And it's tough because I know he had COVID and he was coming back from an injury in the playoffs. But I think we saw in, like, game two of that series against the Lakers where he was just killing them. Every time he came off the floor, the spacing was so much better. And this is not to take away from his regular season. He had this three-month stretch after Christmas where he was, like, amazing. But I don't know. They should go trade, see if they can get Chris Paul back.
I mean, that's – just say we didn't mean it. Yeah. I mean, that's where it gets weird for me, where it's like, I guess Harden is more – attractive to a team, like, to trade for him. But I mean, what is a Rockets team rebuilt around Russell Westbrook going to do? You know, I don't know. You know, I almost go back to the idea that, you know what, guys, maybe you should have kept a guy taller than 6'7". Maybe that was a bad idea just to give away Clint Capella, you know?
No, like, there was so much talk in that Lakers series about how the Rockets need kind of a pick and roll guy who can just roll and get to the rim, playing off James Harden and get easy buckets. Literally Clint Capella.
Yeah, like, I understand, I guess the idea was that he, like, if he's in there in the paint, like, he sort of clogs up your driving lanes, but there are just times that team needed an easy bucket and they couldn't get one. I mean, you end up kicking out to people all the time. It's either, you know, either Harden shooting a step back three, PJ Tucker shooting a corner three, Eric Gordon shooting a three, Robert Covington shooting like, they would get to the basket in transition, but once you got in a half-court set, it's like, okay, who's open to shoot a three? And I don't know. I mean, I understand that's how the NBA works now, but unless you have, like, someone who can not only hit all of them but won't be double-teamed all the time, it's just not going to work.
Yeah, the ironic thing, too, is, like, the Lakers downsized, and they were like, oh, we've got the best center in the league at the five in Anthony Davis, and now we suddenly have the best power forward in LeBron, and now we're going to beat your small ball with our version of small ball, which is way better. I want Daryl Morey to, like, just give one, like, really honest interview in, like, 5 years. I want to know if the Russell Westbrook trade was truly something that he wanted to do. Or if it was something, obviously, we know that James Harden and Chris Paul didn't get along, so they've got to get that done. But Russell Westbrook is just the last player I would imagine Morey trading for. And he came out and did interviews after and said that he increased our chances based on our models by 35% to win the championship. Like, Westbrook is the last guy you would trade for. Forget about the fact that they needed to get a friend to come in and be friends with James Harden. Like, that just goes against everything Morey has been building towards, no?
Yeah, it was definitely strange. I mean, look, we can go back even further. I thought it was weird when the Rockets actually acquired Chris Paul, because that was the year that Harden averaged like 14 assists a game. And, you know, you ran the offense through Harden, and he leads the league in assists, and you bring in a playmaker, and it's like, wait a minute, isn't James Harden your playmaker? Like, shouldn't you be surrounding him with shooters instead of a guy who is known for being more of a mid-range guy? I was telling Ryan Jones that, you know, to me, like, Chris Paul is kind of, and I know he's like not that much younger. I mean, he is younger, but he's basically Kobe's heir. Like, he's a guy who shoots mid-range jumpers. His competitiveness is off the charts. You know, the only thing he does more than Kobe did was punch people in the balls, and like, whatever, you know, you learn that at Wake Forest, I guess you got to do that.
Shout out to Julius Hodge.
But yeah, I mean, the Rockets bring in Chris Paul, who doesn't help your three-point shooting, and then you trade him away, which is fine because obviously the fit was weird, and you bring in Westbrook, who dominates the ball more and shoots threes worse. Like, I don't even know how you make the fit worse by trading away Chris Paul, and they found, like, the one way to do it. It's like, we have this ball-dominant two-guard, so let's get an even more ball-dominant point guard. Like, your usage ends up being, like, 600% just between those two guys.
They gave up.
You're kind of lucky that your other options are someone like PJ Tucker, who, as far as I can tell, his entire job is to drift out to the corner and, like, scroll through GOAT while he's standing out there. Looking at like size 13s, you know, until like someone needs a bailout shot. I don't know. That's why I just don't know like what the answer for those guys is and how you build.
Yeah, the Rockets thing to me reminds me a little bit of the Sixers, in how the Sixers traded for Jimmy Butler and then traded for Tobias Harris. And then because they gave up more for Tobias Harris than Jimmy Butler, maybe prioritized, you know, having to bring Tobias Harris back on this $180 million deal. What the Rockets did with Westbrook is not just that trade alone. Then they traded out Capella because they needed to open up some space for Westbrook to operate. And now they're in a position where I feel like if they're going to get rid of Westbrook to like unclog that problem, they're going to have to probably give up assets or lose that trade as well. And it's just like this like trickle down effect that doesn't end.
It's trickle down and sunk costs and all those other fancy things that I hate to think about with my own life. And I'm glad that I don't run a basketball team too.
This is why you don't spend $500 on Travis Scott McDonald's merch when it drops. All right, Russ.
But no, the Sixers are really interesting too. And it's funny, like again, from his conversation with Ryan, he mentioned something about how it'd be hilarious if D'Antoni went to Philly. And it's like, it does make you think. It's like, you have an entire league now built around shooting threes and open shots and everything else. And here's a team where like your point guard refuses to shoot threes. You know, your center is willing to step out and shoot threes, but like he's also probably the most effective post player in the league. So it's like, if when Embiid steps out, like, is that benefiting you or is that benefiting the opponent? I don't even know. And then, yeah, like you said, like they sort of doubled down on Tobias Harris because they traded Jimmy Butler to get him. And it's like, okay, but you should have just kept Jimmy Butler. You know, like I feel like Joel and maybe Ben to a lesser extent, maybe it's not fair to say it about Ben because he missed a lot of time with injuries, but like I feel like both of those guys need someone like Jimmy Butler, like just to stay on them and to be like, yo, what the fuck?
No, don't worry, Russ. I got Al Horford locked up for the next couple of years. Yeah, the Ben Simmons thing is interesting because, you know, obviously everybody talks about how you can't shoot. I feel like if you are a Ben Simmons type where you can't shoot threes as a point guard, you better be like all NBA in every other thing that you do, including on the defensive end. And honestly, Ben Simmons can be that guy, even if he doesn't have that shot. I feel like he could be that guy in terms of, you know, a facilitator on offense, and I believe he made the All-NBA defensive team this year already.
He did. He was first team.
Yeah, I think he was first team. He's one of the best defenders in the league. But I don't know. The Sixers are a whole other issue. Let's get to the teams that are still remaining. You know, you talked about your love for Jimmy. The Miami Heat are up 1-0 right now. Let's talk a little bit about the Celtics. You know, Jason Tatum's had a really good playoffs. You know, he was huge, I thought, in the Raptors series. Where do you have Jason Tatum in terms of, say, like on the superstar scale? Like, do you see him as like a number one guy, superstar guy already?
It's weird. There was a time when I did, I feel like. And I feel like the Celtics in particular with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, you know, watching them on a more consistent basis helps you realize that, like, I don't know, improvement and sort of that superstardom track, like, it isn't necessarily always a straight line. You know, I feel like there's a lot of up and back. And it's like, I think both Tatum and Brown, they certainly have times when they both look like superstars, you know, and when they're both on at the same time, it's terrifying. But then they have other games where you're like, oh yeah, these guys are like 22 years old. You know, they're not, they don't have it quite all sorted out yet. You know, maybe there's games when that little sidestep three that Tatum shoots isn't falling and, you know, he has to give the ball up. So I guess in a roundabout way, I would say, yeah, I mean, Tatum, I think, is on that superstar border. I think he has more games than not when he's over it and is sort of on that side where you're like, man, you're just screwed. But I think, you know, there's still a fair number of games when he doesn't quite have it yet. And that's sometimes when Jaylen Brown steps up, you know, sometimes when Marcus Smart.
That's the other podcast. Tune in soon. Yeah.
You know, Marcus Smart, who to me is basically a Jimmy Butler mini me, right down to the scrappy ass facial hair, you know, just goes out there and does what needs to be done. And I hate to call it blue collar because all these guys are making like $100 million, but like, you know, just doing the dirty work and taking the charge or going up and getting a rebound against a guy like a foot taller than he is. And then, man, Tice has been something else, man. Like, I feel like he's just involved in every play. I want to start calling him Birdman 3000 because he reminds me a little bit of Chris Anderson. You know, yeah, where Marcus, it's just like this,
yeah, I like that.
This white guy with tattoos who came from God knows where, who's just athletic and, like, you know, has that great second jump and just is able to do all that. So I guess I kind of got away from the original question, but to me, like, Tatum, and I'm going to put this in Bulls terms, not just because we started as an After the Last Dance podcast and because I was a Bulls fan back then and because I'm old, but it seems like a good starting point. You know, Tatum and me, I think he has kind of Jordan-esque upside. Like, I think he's definitely destined to be a number one option superstar guy. But I think he's still sort of in that Scottie Pippen 1991 or so phase of his career. Like, I think he knows how good he can be. I don't think it's a question of that. I just think there's sometimes, like, it's hard to just turn on and be on all the time. Like, yeah. I still think he's in the phase where it's like, you can see what his future is, but he's just not always to do it at that level 100% of the time.
Yeah, you know, I feel like obviously he's still super young. And the other thing is, like, his team is almost like too good, whereas he's not one of those kind of young, you know, anointed superstar guys who goes on this terrible team, gets drafted by a terrible team, and is thrusted into this number one role right away. I do feel like obviously he created some separation between himself and Jaylen this year in the regular season. But I think I'm with you. It's one of those things where you have to actually tell yourself, like, hey, I'm the number one guy on this team. And I'm going to come out and give my team like 25, 5, and 5, like, every night. And I feel like he does have that potential. And this is already his, like, what, second conference finals in 3 years?
Yeah. You know, and did I see, like, he's like 6'10 now? Like, he's basically been getting taller too?
Yeah, I feel like he's been getting taller.
Which is, like, terrifying. I mean, that's the scary part about drafting guys when they're like 20, because they can't.
Yeah. Every guy on the Celtics, including Marcus Smart, looked like they were 7'12 guarding the Raptors. So I never want to revisit that again. Marcus Smart, too, on Marcus Smart, he is who Patrick Beverley thinks he is.
Yes.
Like Patrick Beverley talks like he plays a Marcus Smart game. And while Patrick Beverley does have his moments, like, you look at what Marcus Smart did, you know, has done in this entire playoffs and how huge he was against Toronto. Like, he really opened my eyes as someone who doesn't follow the Celtics that closely.
And it's funny because the Celtics have had a history of having those, like, sort of blue collar guards. you know, and it's crazy that they were able to let Avery Bradley go, who is basically sort of a Marcus Smart 1.0. And like, you know, the new improved Marcus Smart is even better. And I guess what's scary too, and I'm still picking the Heat to get to the finals. I'm not going to change my mind. But we've been talking about the Celtics for this long, and we haven't even mentioned Kemba Walker, who might be their best offensive player, which is absurd. And, you know, shout out to GM Michael Jordan for letting your best player go.
Listen, Terry Rozier was available, and you have to make that move.
You know what I'm psyched about, though? I'm just psyched to see Walker 8 out there for the Celtics.
Yeah, employee number and 8
apparently,
is back.
apparently, Kemba did hit up Twan on social media, kind of to get his blessing before he did it.
That's amazing.
Which is dope because, you know, I think the Celtics are such a storied franchise, and like sometimes maybe people forget about the guys who don't get their name and number raised to the rafters. But, you know, Twan was such a huge part of sort of that transitional history of the Celtics from the Bird era, you know, into the Pierce era. You know, shout out to Twan. Maybe someday there'll be fours.
No, retire. Put a shimmy in the Hall of Fame. We got to rebrand like Kawhi Leonard to like employee number 2 or something like that. I feel like he just wants to show up, clock in 9 to 5 and go home.
I was going to say, maybe there's someone on the Celtics who could do that. You know, that the other guy, I guess, in the same boat is Jaylen Brown, who wears D Brown's number 7.
Yeah.
Who you have like the dunk contest jersey.
I feel like he wore the pumps to media day, or he did some kind of homage.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Jaylen could like do the, you know, cover his own eyes with the elbow dunk. Maybe don't try that in the conference finals. But, you know, I mean, that's the difference with those guys to me, to get back to Jaylen and Jason for a second, is like, you know, I think Tatum's the guy you give it to in the half court because he can create his own shot and get something crazy. And like I said, he can always shoot that sidestep 3. And Jaylen Brown is more of the, like, he gets going downhill and it's just like, good luck. Like, maybe get out of the way because he's going to murder you. And it's probably good, actually, for them that Al Horford signed with the Sixers. It was funny because at the time, I kind of thought the Sixers signed him just so they wouldn't have to play against him, which to me is like, I don't know. Those kind of things rarely work out, and obviously this one didn't really well. But you know, I think they kind of got beat up by him, and it's just like, well, we'll take him away from the Celtics. And man, I mean, the Celtics filled in those gaps.
Yeah. And, it does bear mentioning the Celtics looked a lot better this season once Kyrie left too. So let's wrap up this segment. Obviously we talked about the Heat and the Celtics. The Heat are up 1-0 right now. Shout outs to Tyler Hero, by the way. You know, I haven't gone through the list, but like rookies usually don't do this right in the playoffs, and he's doing it.
Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson look like they should be like rushing a frat rather than
with Myers Leonard.
Yeah. Like then playing like crunch time minutes in like the conference finals.
Tyler Hero got me throwing out cliches, man. Like this guy is like fearless. He's fearless.
Yeah, he's great. He's great. I mean, look, Kentucky's legacy in the league has been long, and like the number of guys in there now from Kentucky who are killing it. Like, what do they say? That Hero's from Wisconsin and they didn't think he really amount to much at Kentucky or play much at Kentucky. And yeah, here he is, like trusted by Jimmy Butler. You know, it's like There's 300 guys in the NBA and Jimmy Butler trusts probably like 12 of them, I feel like, on every team combined. And like, yeah, he's one of them. And meanwhile, like, I feel like I saw something. I love when these names pop up. Duncan Robinson, like 85% of his shots are threes, which is higher than Steve Novak. And yo, I don't remember Steve Novak ever shooting anything that wasn't a three. So
you don't remember Steve Novak showing off his low post moves?
Not really. Did he do that? That's probably why.
No, never, never, never. No, 85% honestly for Duncan Robinson seems low. That seems like a lifestyle in general to aspire to. Just shoot threes 85% of your time in your life.
But that's an example of like, and the Heat, it's crazy to me that Spoelstra, you know, who I think people our age or people my age, it's like you remember, like, man, him replacing Stan Van Gundy, and it's like, how long is this going to last? And
Pat Riley was going to come out from the second row in the stands and coach LeBron, remember?
He's like the second longest tenured coach in the NBA now, like behind Pop, basically.
Coaches that win titles with LeBron don't get respect. Ty Lue doesn't get the respect.
That's true. Well, I mean, Spo should have earned it by now, you know, because, and
he should have.
I think the Heat should have earned it in general, just because they've always been sort of that program where it's like, you know, I feel like Jimmy Butler showing up at 3 a.m. for a workout. There were probably already like two guys there, you know, from the day before running through Pat Riley's 37 a days.
Yeah. Somehow one of them is Alonzo Mourning still. Yeah.
I mean, Jimmy was just, I hate the fact that the Bulls traded him. I gave up my Bulls fandom when they did, 'cause it was stupid. Other teams have let him go since then. But I got to say this, Jimmy has ended up where he belongs. Jimmy Butler is a Miami Heat player. Like, he's the Miami Heat player. Like, he's going to fit right in that pantheon with Zoe and Timmy Hardaway.
Yep.
And I get, and Dwayne Wade.
And Vashawn Leonard.
Vashawn Leonard. He's an even blue collarer Dwayne Wade. Like, Dwayne was kind of a blue collar guy. And I forgot they both went to Marquette.
Yeah. Yeah, and played on the Bulls together. Played on your Bulls together.
Dwayne Wade never played for the Bulls.
With Rajon Rondo, the three alphas. You know you want to revisit that. They both you want to. You know you want a 50-part podcast series on that season.
Oh, my God. That's what all my comments would be in that podcast. Would just be like, oh.
Yeah, it's just me doing a monologue like Ken Burns.
Yeah, and me making noises in the background.
No, shout out to Jimmy. I got to eat some crow too, man. When he was causing all those problems in Minnesota and, you know, forced his way to Philly, I was always like, you know, listen, Jimmy's a great player, but Jimmy's not LeBron James, and he's acting like LeBron. Like, he's never carried a team. And, like, listen, man, I got to admit, like, he's proven me wrong this season, right? Like, any kind of remaining doubts about Jimmy has been erased.
I mean, look, the reason I got upset when the Bulls traded him was – my take was, Jimmy Butler is not a guy you trade away. Jimmy Butler is the guy you trade for. Yeah. And that's kind of what, I don't know, that's kind of how I look at trades in general, where it's like, who's getting the player that you should be trading for, not trading away? And, you know, for someone like that, who I feel like, yeah, you know, I don't think you were wrong, because generally to be that outspoken and to call your teammates out publicly, like, you better have won some shit. Because otherwise, you know, who are you? Who are you to tell me this? But, you know, I think Jimmy obviously has always known who he was. He's always known how he works. He knows how hard he works. And if you don't see that coming from your teammates, like, you know, I guess you could not say anything. But as we've learned from all of his stops, that's clearly not who he is. I mean, the only ironic part is that he gets traded from Minnesota to Philly. And I want to say he probably thought Philly, with that level of talent, was going to be his landing spot. You know, that would be the team maybe he could take to the finals. And meanwhile, like, Joel might be even more, how do I say this, playful than Kat even. You know, not to say Joel isn't committed to his game. Obviously, like, he's made tremendous strides just in the time he's been in the NBA, but he doesn't approach the game the way Jimmy does. And, you know, if you're going to look at any failing Jimmy has, I think it's that, I don't know if he understands that other guys can approach the game in a different way or have those extracurricular things going on. Like, I feel like if Jimmy has nothing going on, he'll just go to the gym and take 1,000 jumpers.
Yeah, I feel like that's a very, like, Michael and Kobe thing. You know, we saw in The Last Dance, too. Michael just didn't understand why other guys couldn't be as psychotic as him. So before I get to the predictions, one quick thing about Tyler Hero. Speaking of a guy who probably spent $500 on Travis Scott McDonald's merch. You know, I picked the Celtics in 7 before this series started. We're obviously recording, you know, after the Heat are up 1-0. So I guess I got to stick with the Celtics in 7. I know you've got the Heat, right?
Yeah, I'm going with the Heat in 6. And I'm not just saying that because they won game one. You know, obviously that was a close one. I don't know. I just think the Heat are just on one right now. You know, again, Bam Adebayo is a guy I didn't really get to watch a lot of, or I feel like I didn't watch a lot of. And, Man, I mean, again, like, not to dwell on it, but that block alone, good God. I mean, I don't know. I would have to go back pretty far to find something where a guy was that committed and that high in the air to throw down a dunk and get it rejected at the rim. Like,
he blocked it on the downward trajectory of Tatum throwing it down.
Yeah, I mean, just so strong. And so one of those, like, you know, you make the Stephon Marbury face after the Amari Stoudemire dunk on I forget who it was on. Doesn't matter. A lot of people. But, you know, just like, oh, like, how do you react to that? How do you recover from that? That said, I mean, I think it's a pretty evenly matched series. Like, I won't be shocked if the Celtics move on, obviously.
Yeah, you know, I want the Celtics to move on. So retroactively, the Raptors look a lot better. So on to sneakers. So we've got a couple of Kobe drops coming up. The Kobe 5 PE with DeMar DeRozan. And I'm sure you saw PJ Tucker designed his own Kobe 5 as well. Any thoughts on those two upcoming releases?
I mean, they're interesting, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I was kind of disillusioned by the whole last Kobe drop that, you know, obviously disappeared into the reseller ether pretty quickly. I'm sure this will do the same. It's really hard to figure, like, how they could actually make this a more even distribution, barring making a lot more Kobes, which they probably should do. Like, people will buy them. I don't think they're going to wind up, like, sitting on shelves. Or virtual shelves, as the case may be. I'm curious. I didn't see it. I don't know if there is a story behind those. Like, the PJ Tucker one I looked at and was like, okay, it's interesting, but I don't know what the backstory is. Certainly doesn't work with, like, Rockets colors or, like, you know, I don't know if it's the primary color of every single team he's ever played for going back to, like, elementary school. I don't know. I don't know. I guess, you know, for me, I'm just happy that Kobe's shoes still have a presence on court. People are still into them. Those guys are down to do it. You know, it's like, to me, almost posthumously, Kobe sneaker-wise has become sort of Jordan-esque. You know, I think you have players like an Anthony Davis. You know, Anthony Davis probably should have gotten a signature shoe while he was still on the Pelicans. And now I feel like he's content to be like sort of the prime Laker and Kobe's, which is cool. You know, I'm glad that some portion of Kobe's legacy is being carried on in that way.
Yeah, you know, I think it's cool. You know, obviously Kobe with his Mamba Academy, and, you know, he's worked with so many current players. I feel like it'd be cool. You know, remember a few years ago when Kobe tweeted out all those challenges to guys? Like, he challenged, like, Giannis, he challenged DeMar. They should work with each of those guys, obviously, if they're under the Nike Jordan umbrella. I feel like most of them are. And, like, put out a Kobe 5 with each of them or something, you know? Like, yeah, like, link it to the current guys or something. I mean, all respects, like, no disrespect to PJ. You know, I feel like PJ's obviously getting this shine and opportunity because, you know, he's the number one sneakers guy in the NBA. But I think it'd be cool to give some kind of, like, personal touch with the other guys. And that's why, yeah, I think it's cool he's doing it. They're doing it with DeMar, because DeMar obviously was a huge fan of Kobe growing up.
I don't know if I said it on Twitter, but, you know, part of the reason even, like, I kind of don't want to be on Twitter is I'm tired of giving companies
free ideas.
Yeah. So, like, I kind of hate doing that. And, like, I think my bio before I stopped was that Goodfellas FU pay me line, which is going to stay up whenever I rejoin. But I will give this one thing, like, why not do the Freak 2, the Giannis shoe, like, do a Kobe flip of that. And same thing, because he did win MVP. Now he's won two MVPs. It's sort of like a, you know, do a mission accomplished shoe with the Kobe logo and have some of the money from it go to the Mamba Foundation or the Kobe Foundation or, you know, whatever it's called, whether it's I forget whether it's named after Gianna, but, you know, make it a charitable thing and connect Giannis and Kobe through the shoe. I don't know. It seems like a no brainer, but a lot of things in the sneaker industry these days seem like no brainers in the sense that people with no brains are doing them. So maybe it's hard to think of. I don't know. I'm just a guy, man.
Yeah, I like the Zoom Freak 2s. I think there's like this white cement colorway that's coming out next month. Just waiting for my Nike Toronto plug to return my text. Must have not seen the text for 3 weeks now. Speaking
of plugs, shout out to my Converse plug who reached out and sent me a pair of those a cold wall Chuck Taylor boots.
Nice.
Just in time for fall. Very nice. Very nice.
So the Air Jordan 35. Thoughts on that? Hey, when I first saw that shoe, you know, it reminded me of the Shaq Gnosis.
Yeah, it did remind me a little bit of that. Again, I'm going to go against my better judgment.
Russ is making a face right now for people that don't see it. As far as providing
free advice or free whatever, but at this point, it's too late anyway. I thought it was cool when Jordan referenced the one with the 31 and did the swoosh in the knit and like the ball and wings logo and stuff. They should have stopped that right there. Like, that was a cool little tribute. And then you carried it over with the two on the 32. Then they went away from it with the three and the 33, which was hilarious because the three is probably the most popular Jordan of all time. And like, yeah, let's not mess with that one. And then I guess the 34 was, I can't even picture the 34 entirely, but you know, it wasn't as four heavy. And now the 35 to me is a new retro five. I don't know who that shoe is aimed at, because if you want a five, you're going to buy a pair of fives. There's either fives available, or obviously the secondary market means fives are always available. And to me, if you want the best performance shoe or the best performance basketball shoe in the world, which I believe is still what the Air Jordan is supposed to be, why do you want one with design elements that are 30 years old? Like, that makes, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, to me, if you're going to keep making a flagship Air Jordan, which I think is a toss-up, I don't even know why they still do it. Like, to me, they're only still doing it because it's probably in Mike's contract or it makes Mike happy. But referring back to old designs, like, you're just cannibalizing yourself. Like, what is the 35 going to be in 10 years? Like, no one's going to want to see that again. You'll just buy the five. You know, I think that should continue to be like sort of a, some sort of cutting edge design. You know, Tinker Hatfield told me once that like the whole idea with the Air Jordan was like, if people liked it, you fucked up. Like, people should be like, what the hell is this when they first see it? And then eventually be like, oh yeah, 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 okay. Okay, I get why this is cool. Like, this was, I had to get used to this, or this was ahead of its time. Like, doing it based on the old shoe, like, I don't know, it's cheating, it's boring. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you in terms of, you know, if you're going to take elements from like a Air Jordan 5, why don't you just release the 5 or re-release the 5? It's like when they put those like what the 4s, or like I think there was an image of like the what the 5s, I don't know if they release, where they take like different colorway elements from like classic, you know, Jordan 4s and Jordan 5s, and I'm like, why don't you just release those classics? Like, I don't want a shoe that looks like I copy and pasted like an engineered garment, like patches, yeah, well, I mean, of different, yeah, colors.
I mean, that's Jordan in general. I mean, how many different like mid and low ones have they put out in all these different varieties of red, black,
and that white? That is 95%. That is 95% the Chicago colorway.
Right. I mean, just release the actual, release the Chicago colorway and the black and reds. Release 10 million pairs a year. Like, they'll sell out every single year.
Yeah, I really like the Jordan 31, actually, from like a performance standpoint. I hooped in them a lot. I haven't tried on the new models. I thought the 33 was a good looking model.
The 33 was interesting, at least, because it had that weird like no lacing thing, right?
Yeah,
like, at least it was sort of like, okay, we're gonna try something different.
So you would be fine if they actually put a number on saying like discontinuing the Jordan signature line.
Say what?
Like, you would be okay if they kind of stopped the Jordan signature line at some point?
Yeah, because I feel like I've always felt like you need to pick one. You need to either continue to make an Air Jordan and tell whoever signs with Air Jordan, like, yo, like, this is the game shoe. Or you discontinue that and make signature shoes for guys instead, you know, like, that's what, where I'm still thrown by the idea that they're going to do a Zion signature shoe. And it's like, well, then who's selling the flagship shoe? You know, like, I get, is it still Michael Jordan? Like, that sort of takes, I feel like that's unrealistic. You know, like, no matter how many people watched The Last Dance, like, are kids going to buy a shoe made for a 57-year-old ahead of the shoe made for, like, literally the most exciting dude in the league who's 20, who's going to be in commercials and everything else? You know, it's like, I would rather see Jason Tatum in a signature shoe than in an Air Jordan designed after a model that came out before Jordan ever won a title. Like, that is, clearly no current kid really, quote unquote, remembers the five. They probably think of it as the shoe that Will Smith wore in that old TV show.
Yeah, no, it's true. Tatum's interesting too, to bring him up again. Like, I wonder when he reaches a point, or if he reaches a point where, you know, he's, you know, marketable and popular enough to get his own signature.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I think, like, there's like a certain alchemy it takes for that. Like, obviously performance on court is some of it, but you either need to have like the crazy over the top personality or a series of Wieden and Kennedy commercials that make it look like you have a personality.
Actually, the guy is Luca. I mean, if Zion gets a signature shoe, I feel like Luca should get his own too.
And that's what's been hilarious too, because the shoe that Luca wore, I actually looked it up one night, like the night after he had that crazy triple-double. You can't even buy that Jordan right now. Like, it's already off the market. And it's just like, Luca and I think Jimmy both. I think Jimmy wore it in warm-ups. I don't know if he wears it in games, but like, it's like, man, you have like Luca getting so much screen time and like in a shoe you can't even buy. Like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, I'm sure kids everywhere wanted to buy Luca shoes, Luca merch, anything.
The thing is, like, to me, like, at what point do you let sort of the player drive sort of the merch, if you want to call it? That's what sneakers are, I guess. I mean, they're basically merch for celebrities at this point. I feel like the whole way the culture has shifted, like, that's where it is now. So I understand you want to, like, put out new models every year and introduce things. But, like, yo, if Luca likes a shoe so much he's going to keep wearing it, then keep making it. Like, keep it on the market. Like, I feel like they could have sold so many pairs just off the strength of that one game. You know, the kids who were just like, yo, like, I want to get the shoe that Luca wore.
Yeah, when he hit the game winner. You know, one guy who would have bought it was Skip Bayless. I don't know if you ever seen the sneaker shopping episode of Skip Bayless. He loves his Jordan futures. He loves his Jordan models that nobody wears.
Lord, maybe they should sign him. Maybe he's the target market for the 35.
Yo, imagine signature sneakers for sports media personalities.
Hey, look, you know, if Jordan's
Stephen A. Smith, the SAS ones.
Jordan, if you're listening, now that we've disparaged you for like 10 minutes straight, you know, Alex and I are both available for consultation and, you know, signature models if that's the way you want to go.
The Maria Taylor twos. that would be amazing. Yeah, we do nothing but disparage Michael Jordan on here, which I find hilarious. Respect to the GOAT, though, you know? All right, before we wrap up, a couple of quick things. Also on the New Balance side, they announced this Jolly Rancher collab on Kawhi's signature shoe line, which I don't think he wore during the Nugget series. He was supposed to debut it during the Battle of Los Angeles, but I guess he'll just wear them home in his living room now.
You know what's crazy? And like, I feel like that's where Jordan kind of ruined it for everyone. Cause you look at those Jordans, especially like late career with the Bulls and, you know, mid to late career. And it's like, yeah, he won a title in like every shoe for like, you know, whatever, 6 out of 8 years. And it's like, you never had to ask. I mean, they sort of did with the 11, but it worked out because you wore it the following season too. Like, yo, what happens if you lose when you're trying to promote something new? And like, unfortunately now, that sort of happens for everybody. Like, every James Harden shoe he's worn has been worn during a playoff loss. Like, what's the story for that later on? You know, like,
who's buying Paul George shoes today?
Yeah, and he went back to wearing like the PG1 in the bubble. which to me was interesting. You know, I don't know if that was supposed to like symbolize like a fresh start or something more prosaic, like he just happens to like that shoe better. But you know, it's like literally for a decade, every Air Jordan was neatly packaged off at the end of the year with this story, you know, with him hitting a huge shot or winning a huge game, or obviously in six separate seasons, winning a title. And it's like, what's the retro story going to be for a lot of this newer stuff? You know, like what ends up being the backstory for like the Harden 2? Is there going to be retros of any of this stuff? You know, like the Westbrook 0.2 or whatever their bizarre nomenclature is. By the way, I actually have a pair of the Westbrook 0.2 in the, I'm not sure if you remember them, the bizarre, like sort of all-star colorway, which has like fur on it and like
I do remember.
And I don't know. It's all sorts of crazy shit. I saw it at a mall and I was like, oh man, I should buy a pair of those. And of course I haven't worn them yet. So
yeah, no, it's interesting. Cause like Kawhi hit his like game 7 shot against the Sixers last year wearing this like blue and gold pair of the New Balance, like Omni One shoe. And it was such a limited release. And, you know, I would love for them to release that shoe because again, like you mentioned, like for me, that's tied to, you know, one of the greatest memories in Raptors history. And I would just simply want to own that shoe as like a historic artifact. Hmm. Just like maybe a kid back in the day wanted a pair of infrared sixes or right. whatever it might be that Jordan wanted, right? Instead, yeah, I have to look on StockX and they're like $800.
But that's the thing, you know, New Balance, they do want to retro that at some point. They can go back to that story. But for the stuff this year, it's like, are you really going to like, oh yeah, here's the shoe that they blew a 3-1 lead to the Nuggets in. Like,
also a historical yeah,
exactly,
artifact.
Exactly. But it's like, I don't think I want to remember that really. What's really hilarious is, and maybe you know, because I don't even know what brand Jokic wears. I have no idea.
See, yeah, that's a good, I don't even. That's a good call. I've never really looked at his feet during the game.
I feel like I have,
too.
And I still haven't noticed. You know, it's just weird. I know
he's just wearing a pair of ponies or something, man. I don't even know.
Starberries.
He has like a 15-year deal with Anta that we never heard about. Yeah, we got to look into that in the conference finals. Well, that's it, Russ. So I've got the Celtics and Lakers in the finals, just as Adam Silver would want. And I believe you've got Jimmy Butler. We've got Jimmy Butler, Pat Riley versus LeBron
Lakers
in the finals.
Heat, man. Come on, let's go.
Lakers, he would be sick too. So that LeBron does it for us. Make sure, as always, you know, subscribe to the Soul Savvy Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, wherever else you listen to your podcasts. And, you know, really appreciate everyone listening to Russ and I chat about basketball and sneakers again. And hopefully maybe we'll be back during the finals or after the finals to kind of wrap up the season.
Yeah, I think we should try and be here like before the finals maybe so we can make our inevitably wrong predictions about those. You know, if it does end up being Denver, Miami, shout out to the 9 people who listen to us if that happens, as opposed to Lakers, Celtics, when we could just wax poetic about Larry Bird and Magic Johnson for like an hour.
Dino Raja, like, shout out Dino Raja.
People are like, who? Who are those guys? Yeah
Eldon Campbell.
I mean, that's the crazy part, you know, you sort of like forget the people are younger than you and it's like, oh yeah, there's probably people out there who literally barely remember the Paul Pierce versus Kobe finals, let alone
Chauncey Billups and Ron Mercer on the Celtics.
Whoa. Chauncey Billups. Shout out to Chauncey Billups in his half a year as a Celtic before Rick Pitino was like, yeah, you're not really working out for me.
And half a year in Toronto. If anyone has a Raptors Billups jersey, just like send me a photo. Ooh. I've never seen that in the ether.
I'm going to say Chauncey Billups probably doesn't even have one.
Well, that does it for us, man. Russ, always great chatting with you, and we'll be back soon.
Yes, sir. See you guys soon.